Turn your Bibles this morning to 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 3. You're just getting familiar with your Bible. It's in the beginning part of our Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and then you'll come to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3, we'll be reading the first four verses, 1 through 4. I'll read the odd verses. If you'll join me on the evens, verses 2 and 4. And if you've found 1 Samuel chapter 3, if you'll please stand in honor of reading of God's Word this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for, again, how you blessed this morning. I pray that you'd help us this morning. We are needy people. We need you. We need the Holy Spirit power to be upon this place, upon your man of God, the Word of God. I pray we'd listen. Open ears, avoid any distractions this morning. Be in tune for what you have us. Bless the special. In your name we pray. Amen.
Charlie, what we'll be doing tonight, observing the Lord's table, is all about the price that Jesus paid so that we might be saved. I want to speak to you from this passage today on this subject, arrow up or arrow down. Arrow up or arrow down. Arrows are often used pointing up, pointing down, pointing sideways to maybe depict public opinion about people, trends, businesses, everything. A lot of arrows, that graphic is used often today to depict public opinion about certain matters. And I'm not going to be discussing anything about public opinion this morning as much as I am just is the arrow pointing up or down when it comes to my life, your life, and God's involvement in our lives. I'm going to talk to you from this passage about it today. So let's pray together. And I'm struggling with the sound in the auditorium. Are you hearing me? Okay. You're hearing the music okay this morning? Very good. Let's pray together and we'll get started. Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege of meeting here, the good fellowship we've had together to laugh, to enjoy each other's company, to give, to be blessed by song, to have fellowship and shake hands with each other, to see folk that we, in some cases, haven't seen for 4, 5, 6, 7 days, and renew our friendships and acquaintances again. It's encouraging. And now we open your book. And Lord, it is the most important part of the service, not because of my involvement, but because this is where, Lord, we learn everything from your book. And I pray that you will be here in power to speak to our hearts from your book this morning. And we thank you for it. It is more valuable to us, more precious to us than silver and gold. The truths, the principles are more valuable than great wealth and riches. And so I pray that you'll help us to listen carefully and learn from it today. And I want to be helped by your Spirit to preach it. And I ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. As people, all of us have things that we are, can I say this, particular about, and other things that we are not. We are choosy in some areas and then not so choosy in others. If my wife and I are out together for an evening of just spending some time together, maybe running some errands and doing some things that just need to get done, we might stop for something to eat, and we don't have the time to invest in a sit-down, leisurely supper. And so we might go by a Subway, and I would say to my wife, "What do you want?" And normally, the answer I get is, "It doesn't matter. I don't care. Well, do you want this kind of sandwich? It really doesn't matter. Do you?" That's so aggravating, amen. And because men know, I want this and this kind of bread and this kind of cheese and this condiment. But I don't care. What do you want? I don't care anything but jalapenos. And right there. You ruined me right there with that, amen. But anyway, now if one of our errands is to stop by Joann Fabrics, because there's, I need a new dress and there's a pattern, there's material, then it's almost like, do you have some place you need to go while I'm in the store? Are you going to sit in the car? Subtly saying, you're not coming in here with me because I'm not getting in a hurry. And I'm not going to have you looking over my shoulder. But to me, it's fabric. It looks nice. Pick it out. You buy it. But you make a dress and you go home. Anyway, yes, I have some place to go. And as soon as this town gets a Cabela's or a Bass Pro, it'll be an even better place to go. But anyway, so my point is this. There are some things she is not choosy about at all. Unfortunately, food is one of them. I miss that. I'm a foodie. Y'all foodies? A lot of you guys are foodies, okay? But obviously, material and patterns are things that she is very particular about choosing. Now, I see some of that about our God in the passage that we read there out of 1 Samuel 3 a moment ago. I see that our God is very particular about some things and not so particular about others. So that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Basically, the two human characters in this story are Eli and Samuel. Eli is the elderly, influential high priest, judge of Israel. He served in that capacity for 40 years. He also served as somewhat of a seer and a prophet. He came from the lineage of Aaron, who was the first high priest of the nation of Israel, of course, the brother of Moses. And his very name, Eli, means ascent. It means ascension. It means lifting up. So here was Eli. He was a man of influence, a man of position, a man of heritage, to some degree a man of prestige in the nation of Israel. Then you have Samuel. And he's a little young lad. People think approximately maybe 12 years of age in this story. He was the answer to his mother's prayers. You remember that. His mother Hannah had been barren and unable to conceive a child. And she begged God for a son. Remember, it was Eli who thought she was drunk when she was just fervent in her spirit and prayer. And God heard her prayer and gave her and Elkanah, her husband, that little boy that she named Samuel. And she loaned him, the Bible says, to the Lord. Samuel was from a common family. He was not of priestly or kingly lineage. He was a normal, they were normal, common, run-of-the-mill people. His name, interesting, means both heard of God and asked of God. Heard of God and asked of God. So you got two different individuals. You got two different directions. The arrow was pointing in different directions for these two men. I want to say this morning, God is not choosy about some things, but He is about others. And down through the years, I have said from this pulpit, and will repeat it again this morning, that I believe the Bible teaches us over and over again that God is not near as concerned about distance in our Christian walk as He is about direction. It is not so important to God how much distance you and I have covered in our Christian walk, as it is, listen, what direction is the arrow pointing where we are right now. I don't think God is near as concerned about the years we've been saved, the progress we've maybe made in the Christian walk, as He is which way, in what direction is the arrow pointing where we are right now. We have Eli, a man who, if you let me say it this way, has covered a lot of distance in his walk with God. A man who has been used for a number of years in the nation of Israel. A man who has known the blessing of God. Mature man and experienced man. And then we have Samuel, a young lad who has not covered a lot of distance in the walk with God. A lad who has been in a position of learning for several years now. He's really just getting started in the ways of the Lord. Maybe you could call him immature. You could definitely call him inexperienced. As different as the distance covered in their two lives, so was the direction of these men in our text. For one of them, the arrow was definitely pointing down. And for the other, the arrow was definitely pointing up. I want to talk to you for a few minutes at the beginning about the matter of the arrow down. And that's obviously the man Eli. The arrow down is definitely, the arrow is definitely pointing down for Eli. And let me say, friend, at the very outset of the message here, when I'm talking about Eli, that it is not pointing down because he is old. It's not pointing down because of his age. His age had nothing to do with the direction of the arrow in his life. But I also need to say this, as far as the distance goes, the distance did not automatically mean the arrow was pointing up. He had been serving God for a long time. He had been growing and, you know, and going for God for a long time. But just because he'd been saved and used for over 40 years didn't automatically mean that the arrow was pointing up. The truth is, the arrow was pointing down, but it didn't have to be. I want you to look at some of the statements that are made here at the beginning of this chapter. Look at verse number 1. The Bible says that the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Look at verse number 2 about Eli. His eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. Look at verse 3. Ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord. Now, you know, all of these statements, those three statements, all of them had some literal meaning. Look at that first statement in verse 1. The Word of God. There was no open vision. It was precious in those days. The Word of God was rarely revealed from heaven in the days that Eli is living in right now. It wasn't flowing freely from heaven to Eli. And it hadn't always been that way. But at this point in time, it was a rare occurrence when God would speak to Eli and to the nation of Israel through Eli. How about Eli's loss of sight in verse number 2? He was literally losing his eyesight. And in verse number 3, the lights of the golden candlestick were just about out, just the time of day when those lights would go out. So those statements all have a literal meaning. But friend, I want you to see that there is a symbolic meaning here as well. Was there a reason there was no open word from the Lord to Eli? Was Eli's loss of sight symbolic? Was it symbolic? Spiritually speaking, was the light of God's favor on Eli about to be extinguished? Was it about to be put out? You can answer all three of those questions, yes, yes, and yes. And you can read in the previous chapter that Eli in chapter 2 had let things go in his life. His two sons had been wicked. He barely rebuked them for their wickedness. He just kind of relaxed. He kind of became passive about sin. The service and the work for God at the tabernacle was his responsibility. And he had grown lax about it. He just kind of let it go. He had not been dealing with things. He'd gotten comfortable. He'd moved into a comfort zone, spiritually speaking. He and his sons were living comfortably. Why rock the boat? Why turn the apple cart upside down? Why shake things up? All of that was going on in Eli's life in chapter 2. Now, here's my question this morning. Could there be a lesson in this for you and me? Maybe some of us who have been saved for a long time, and you know, if I can say it this way, we've covered some distance in our walk with God. We've crossed some mountains. We have endured some valleys. We've seen God bless. We've recorded a few victories along the way. Could there be a lesson in this for us? Those of us who have been saved for a number of years and trying to live for God for a number of years, I believe there is, brother and sister in Christ, and here it is. We dare not become casual about our relationship with God. We dare not relax in this thing. We dare not become casual about having His favor on our lives. And having had His favor on us in the past does not automatically guarantee His favor on us in the future. How did we get God's favor? Listen, was it not by being careful? How did we get God's favor? Was it not by being circumspect in our lives, walking carefully? How did we get God's favor? Were we not serious about our consecration? Were we not desirous to live holy? Were we not desirous to live righteously? Were we not careful about sin? And because we were, there was open communication from the Lord. And we had spiritual sight. And we could see truth in the Bible and how to put it into practice in our lives so that the light of God could shine on us and through us. And God spoke to us and we responded. And listen, brother, listen, sister in Christ, especially to those, because, man, at this point in time in the life of this church, there are people who've been saved for numbers of years here. But just because we've been saved for numbers of years does not automatically mean that the arrow is pointing up. The arrow was not pointing up for Eli. The arrow was pointing down. I'm not talking about his eternal destination. That's sealed. Once you come to salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ and you're born to the family of God, heaven is a certainty. I'm talking about God's favor, and I'm talking about God's blessing, and I'm talking about God's usefulness, and I'm talking about God speaking and shining the light. You know, Eli, just because he had been saved for all these years, it didn't automatically guarantee that the arrow at this point in his life would be pointing up. And I guess I asked myself this week when I read his story again, is it possible to grow old with the arrow pointing up? Is it possible to grow old and yet still have open communication from God to my heart, to your heart? Is it possible to grow old and have spiritual sight? Is it possible to grow old and have the glorious light of Christ shining through us until the very end? And you know what the answer I found is? The answer is yes. It can point up until the day we see Jesus. But I want to tell you something. It won't if we don't exercise great care. It won't if we're not careful. I want to show you, hold your finger here in 1 Samuel 3, and I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 2, because I want to show you the opposite of Eli in Luke chapter 2. And I thought about these folks this week when I was pondering this whole passage. In Luke chapter 2, we have a couple of other different people here. And of course, Luke chapter 2 is the story that records the birth of Jesus Christ in Bethlehem's manger. And then Jesus, is 8 days old, and Mary and Joseph take him to the temple, like the Jewish families would do, to have him circumcised and so forth. And look with me, if you will, beginning at verse number 25 in this chapter. Verse number 25. And behold, there is a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And look at this. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Holy Ghost was upon him. Look at verse number 27. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus, so forth. Verse 38. Then Simeon took Jesus up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And he praises the Lord for that little baby Jesus. You know what I thought? Here is a man, elderly years in life, up in years, and thank God the arrow is still pointing up in his life. You know, he's covered some distance. He's gone over the mountains and through the valleys. He's recorded some victories. He's had the favor of God on his life for a number of years. But thank God, praise the Lord, it wasn't all past tense. It was present tense for Simeon. The arrow was pointing up in his life. And then you continue reading. You get down to verse number 36. And the Bible says, there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age. There it is right there. And had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. Only 7 years of marriage. And then she was a widow of about 84 years. Now, folks, she's an elderly lady. And been a widow for 84 years. Watch, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And here was another lady, an elderly lady, upon whom the arrow, the favor of God, was still pointing in an upward direction. She was up in years. She had been walking with the Lord, serving God for a long period of time. But she had not lost His favor and not lost His touch. And I rejoice to know that, you know what? Just because a person is saved 30, 35, 40, 45, 50 years, and up in years age-wise, it does not mean that the arrow has to point down on my life or on your life. The arrow can still be pointing up with people who are careful. People who are circumspect. People who don't let things go. People who are listening to the voice for the voice of God with the attitude of responding when the Lord speaks and God puts His finger on things in our lives, and rather than just dismiss it and count it as not important, we take a note of that and we deal with it and we let God deal with us. And I'm simply saying that it is very possible for you and I to be saved for a number of years and to live a long life if God grants it, and still have the arrow pointing up in our lives. Still have, here were these three folks. Eli, even though he was saved, the arrow pointing down because he'd become too casual about his relationship with God. Too comfortable with it. Didn't take care of things. Didn't get things fixed. Didn't take note of what God pointed out to him. And the arrow is pointing down. Sure, his eyes are dim because he's of old age. But there's symbolism here too. He used to could see spiritually. Now he can't. There used to be open revelation from God's heaven to his heart. Now it was closed. That was rarely happening. The light of God's favor was being extinguished on his life. Again, I'm not talking about eternal destiny, friend. I'm not talking... Look, you and I can do nothing to earn salvation. We can do nothing to earn heaven. It is the free gift of God through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh man, I'm still burdened still today. I witnessed to a lady yesterday, went to the plan of salvation on her doorstep where she is, has three boys, age 9, triplets, all age 9. And I was witnessing to her and giving her the plan of salvation, and she was locked in. And at the end, she told me, you know, she said, I think I'm saved. And I remember being a little girl in this church, and yet, you know, I left the house And I don't know, I'm not the judge of somebody's salvation testimony, but I'm going to tell you what, religion has sure muddied up the waters of salvation. And friend, it's possible to know about church. It's possible to know, you know, be thankful for the Bible. It's possible to believe in God. It's possible to believe in Jesus and yet not be saved. You know that? It's possible to have all of that and not know what it means to have God forgive your sin and write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life and be indwelt by the Holy Spirit and have eternal salvation, which is the free gift of God through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's possible. I don't know everybody in this room. I don't know everybody in this room's spiritual condition. But I'm not talking about the arrow up or down as far as salvation goes. My friend, once you're saved, you're born into God's family. That cannot be undone. It cannot be undone. I'm talking about God's favor. I'm talking about our relationship with God. And you come to a pastor, you know, you pastor a church that's over 40 years in age, and there are many people here who've been saved for 30 and 35 and 40 and 45 years. And friend, just because we once had the favor of God in our life doesn't mean we always automatically will. Samuel had lost it. Eli had lost it. It was gone. And when I read the story, you know how you read the Bible and different things jump out from the same passage over and over again sometimes? When I read that this week and thought about Eli and this man now who's, he's up in years physically, but he's up in years spiritually. But the arrow is pointing down. I thought, God, I don't want that to happen. In my life, I don't want that to happen in the lives of the members of Faith Baptist Church. I don't want that to happen to us. I don't want us to grow casual. I don't want us to grow careless in our relationship with God. I want us to make sure that we live circumspect and we have the same holy desires and anxious, righteous desires that we used to have, so that we can be like a Simeon and like an Anna and have God's favor on our lives all the way to the very end with the arrow pointing up. The arrow was pointing down for Eli. And when I read about those two people, Simeon and Anna, I said, oh dear God, please help me to grow old in my later years and in my Christianity like Simeon and Anna. And it's possible today to grow old in the Lord with the arrow pointing up. And I could give stories this morning. I could give illustrations of people I have known, not from the Bible, people I knew personally who had the arrow pointing up all the way until the time they went to heaven. And then sadly, we know those who, even though they were saved for a long time, at the end of their life, the arrow was pointing down. And always, without fail, it's because there was a carelessness. A carelessness about their relationship to God. Eli is the arrow pointing down. But wait a minute. I want to preach a little bit this morning about this other character, Samuel, back in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Because Samuel is the arrow pointing up. And here, I'm not going to read all the verses, but beginning in verse number 4 and down through verse number 10, God calls to Samuel four times. Now look at that, folks. Eli, look at the picture here. This seasoned veteran of God. God's not speaking to him. And here's this 12-year-old boy down the hallway. They're in the same place. They're in the same building. Right there in the same time. And here's this elderly, seasoned veteran of God. And God is not speaking to him. And here's this little 12-year-old boy. And God speaks to him four times. And look at verse number 10. It's amazing to me. It seems like God even came and stood in His room. It says there in verse number 10, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times. I don't get that impression about Eli. I don't get the impression that God was near him. Do y'all? I don't get the impression that God was close to him. But I know from the Scripture that God is dealing with Samuel and God is close to Samuel. And look at verse number 7. When I read verse number 7, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. I'm not even sure everything that verse teaches, but I think verse 7 makes it clear that Samuel was not experienced. Right? Samuel was not mature. Samuel's very young. In fact, Samuel thought Eli was calling him. When he heard his name, he jumped out of bed, ran down the hall to Eli and said, "What do you need?" And Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back to sleep." And when God called the second time, he did the same thing. "What do you need?" "I didn't call you. Go back." Third time. And finally, that third time, Eli pictured what was going on here. He said, "Son, that's God calling you. If he calls again, you answer, 'Here am I, Lord. Speak, for thy servant heareth.'" And that fourth time, God came and began to talk to Samuel. And Samuel responded. He was guided by Eli as to how to respond to the Lord. He is this young, inexperienced, immature, 12-year-old, if you will, just getting started in the way of God, just getting started in the will of God. And you know what, folks? None of that, his inexperience and his immaturity, was not a disadvantage. None of that interfered with God working in Samuel's heart. And the maturity and experience of Eli did not automatically make God work in his heart. What a contrast! What a contrast! The arrow pointing down in this elderly man's life. The arrow pointing up in this little boy's life. Not because his life was about over and his life was just now beginning. Had nothing to do with it. It had everything to do with their relationship with the Lord. And even though Samuel didn't realize it was God speaking to him, he responded eagerly to the voice. He thought it was Eli calling. And when Eli caught on, he gave Samuel specific instructions. And Samuel responded exactly as Eli had told him to respond. You say, "What's the point, preacher? What's the point, pastor?" The point is this, folks. Samuel's heart was ready, and his heart was prepared, and his heart was hungry, and his heart was eager. He was in the right place, both physically and spiritually, to respond. And God worked in his life and gave him favor. The arrow was pointing up in Samuel's life. You know, I thought about people in our church. I thought about people who are in this room this morning who've not been saved very long. People who are young in age. People who have not been plugged into God's way and God's will for a long period of time. Spiritually speaking, you're not experienced. Spiritually speaking, you're not that grown up in the Lord. And I'm not insulting you, but you're a fairly newborn babe in Christ. Maybe you're a newborn babe in Christ as a young adult. Maybe you're a newborn babe in Christ as a child. Maybe you're a newborn babe in Christ in your middle age years. I'm not talking about your physical age. I'm talking about your age in Christ. You're new in Christ. Or you've come back to Christ. Maybe you got out of the way of God. Maybe you got out of the will of God. And now you've come back in. And there's something burning in your heart. You say, "Pastor, I don't have a lot of distance behind me." God has never been as particular about distance as he has been about direction. And I want to say to you young Christians and you young folks in the Lord and those of you who have just gotten right with God, the direction is what pleases him. The arrow is pointing up in your life. And I say to you, if your heart is on fire, and if you are anxious to hear God's message, and if you are prepared to respond to God, if you desire to grow and know the way of God and the will of God, stay ready. Ride that wave. Ride it. Fan the flames of that fire burning in your heart. Even though you say, "Well, Brother Terry, I'm not that old in the Lord." That's not what God's real choosy about. God's real choosy about the condition of our heart and our response and our anxiousness and our hunger and our thirst. And here was Eli, who had covered a great distance in his life, but his heart was cold. His heart was cold. And there was no anxiousness to hear from God. Folks, don't you think if God hadn't spoken to his heart in a long time that he should have been concerned about that? Don't you think that maybe he would have given up a meal and said, "God, what's wrong? Hey, friend, it is not normal for God's children to go through their Christian walk and never hear from the Lord. That is not normal. That is not the normal Christian life. You say, oh, that's for young Christians. No, that's for any age Christian where the arrow is pointing up. And if you've fallen into Eli apathy, and it's been weeks, months since God has spoken to your heart, and you're not exercised by that friend, thank God you still have time to get exercised about it. I'd skip a meal. I'd say, oh God, what's the matter? Well, tell you something, friend. God hasn't moved. God is the same as God has always been. It's you and I who move. It's you and I who grow cold. God is unchanging. It's you and I who get apathetic. Here's this young boy, and his heart is stirred, and his ear is open, and he's ready to hear God and respond to God. And if you're in that condition this morning, I don't care how... It's a blessing. Brother Caleb used to say when he was here, he said, brother, he would say, preacher, he said, boy, you know the thing that excites me most is the newly saved people in our church. And to see those newly saved people. And he's exactly right. There's a young adult here this morning who was saved some weeks ago. And I popped in on a couple occasions just to pop by and even texted him, how's it going? And popped by, and there's a light in the eye, and there's an excitement, and how's it going? And God is good to us, and God is helping us, and God is using it. You can just see. And I'm talking about a young adult who's not that old in the Lord, but friend, that has nothing to do with what direction the arrow's pointing. In that young adult's life, the arrow's pointing up. It's pointing up. Just like it was for Samuel here. And I'll tell you, that's what God, if that's you this morning, if I'm preaching to you and your heart is on fire and there's something inside of you that's longing for God and to live for God and to serve God and to make your life count for God, ride that wave. Ride it. I remember being out in California. I don't think it was my first trip to California, but it was my first trip. I was at a church in, I believe it was going to a church in Santa Maria, California. And it was to help them with a building project at their church and trying to raise some money to build. And they flew me into LAX. And then they said, rent a car and drive up. And I forget the highway it is right now, Highway 1. Highway 1, and it goes right along the Pacific Ocean there from L.A. up to Santa Maria, California. Man, it was a beautiful drive, and I was driving that route, and I was looking out in that Pacific Ocean, and I saw figures out there on the water, and it was the first time I'd ever seen surfing live like that. And guys had their surfboards out in the Pacific Ocean, and they would catch that wave, and they would ride that wave all the way in until the wave finally gave out there on the shore. And I'm just simply saying, child of God, look, you say, Brother Angel, I'm just new to Christ, and I you know, I'm sure the arrow is not pointing up too highly in my direction for me, because I'm new to Christ. Look, if your heart's on fire, if you're anxious to know the will of God, if you're anxious to learn the Word of God, you're exactly the one whose arrow is pointing up. Exactly. The arrow is pointing up. It has nothing to do with how long or how short we've been saved. It has nothing to do with our experience, our maturity level. It has everything to do. They that hunger and thirst after what? Righteousness shall be filled. I'm simply saying this morning, folks, listen very carefully. God is choosy about direction. He is not choosy about distance. God is not near as concerned about the distance you and I have gone in our Christian walk as He is our direction. Let me ask you a question this morning. Which way is the arrow of your spiritual life pointing today? Well, I've been saved, you know, for... I didn't ask that. I didn't ask how long you've been saved. In fact, the truth of the matter is, friend, the longer you are saved, the more potential you have for the arrow to start pointing down. And we have to work against that. We have to keep our hearts ready. Right. holy, zealous about it. Hearing God's voice, responding to God's voice, being concerned when we don't hear God speak to us. And if you're a new Christian or you're new to the will of God and you're just getting started out for the Lord and you say, my arrow can't be pointing up. Oh, friend, yes, it can. It has nothing to do with how long you've been saved. It has everything to do with how hungry are you to know God's way in your life. Which direction is the arrow pointing this morning? I'm not talking about heaven or hell here. I'm talking about which direction. Are you in the Eli direction or are you in the Samuel direction? And Eli's direction has nothing to do with his age. And Samuel's direction has nothing to do with his inexperience. It's all about the heart. I don't know about you, but I want the arrow of my life to be pointing up until I get old like Simeon and like Anna. And have God's favor and blessing until I see the Lord Jesus face to face. I don't want to become an Eli where I don't hear from God and I lose my spiritual sight and the light of God's favor fades. Give me the heart of Samuel. The heart of Samuel with the arrow pointing up. Thank you for listening this morning. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And before I pray and we close the service with an invitation, I want to ask this question today. Which direction is the arrow pointing in your life? And friend, it has nothing to do with how long you've been saved. Nothing. When's the last time God spoke to your heart? When's the last time you had an open message from God through His Word? In devotions or through a message or a lesson? When's the last time God gave you a spiritual sight? Is the arrow pointing up? Or is the arrow pointing down? Has nothing to do with experience, maturity, age. It has everything to do with the condition of the heart. God, help us to live in such a way that the arrow continues to point up like it did Simeon, like it did Anna. Pastor, somewhere throughout the message this morning, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart, I don't want to be an Eli. I don't want to leave this world someday with the arrow pointing down, God's favor gone, my spiritual sight blinded. Pray for me. I don't want to be an Eli. God spoke to my heart specifically. I see the hand of somebody else this morning. Just slip it up. God bless you. Thank you for listening and your attention today. You may take your hands down. I appreciate that. Now, let me ask you a question today. Who would say, Pastor, my heart is on fire. I'm young in the Lord, but I want to know God's way and God's will. And that message was an encouragement to me, and pray that I'll keep my heart in such a condition where God can continue to speak to me and continue to grow me in grace. Pray for me. I want to keep the arrow pointing up. Who's like that today? Yes, I see your hands. Amen. 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 Thank you. Take your hands down. Now let me ask this question. Maybe you're here this morning. You respect the Bible. You've been around church. But when it comes to the eternal destiny of your soul, be it heaven or hell, you really have no assurance of where you will go when you leave this world. And that's the most important matter of all. Knowing that your name is written in heaven, that that's your eternal destiny. Through the gift of God, which is eternal life, in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you've never been saved or you don't know that you're saved, maybe I could just say a prayer for you, not by name. I don't know everybody's name in this building. In an unknown way, unspoken way, pray for you this morning. When I close in prayer, Pastor, I don't know where I'm going when I die. I've been around church. I got a respect for the Bible, but I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand in the air? And I'll just see it, and I'll just utter a quiet prayer in my heart. Anybody like that today, from side to side, back to front, front to back, upstairs? Maybe you're here today, you've never been baptized in obedience to the Lord's command to follow Christ in believer's baptism. I would invite you to come and talk to us about it. Or maybe you came prepared to get baptized today, and that's your decision, and it's the right one, then you come. Maybe you have talked to us about joining the church. You know, this is the place God wants you to be a member, and you've visited with us about it, and you'd like to come and do that this morning. You obey the Lord in that matter. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for speaking to our hearts today. Oh, God, I don't want to be like Eli. I want to close out my life like Simeon and Anna with the arrow pointing up. God, I pray for people that lifted a hand in this room this morning, many hands. I pray, God, that we would so live and be careful and walk circumspect and be hungry to hear your voice, to keep the arrow pointing up like little Samuel, and help us to avoid the disaster that was Eli late in life. Speak to our hearts today. Thank you for doing so. I pray for anybody here who's not saved, that today your Spirit might show them that they're in need of salvation in the Lord Jesus, or help them to come and be baptized, or whatever the need is, Lord, that they would obey you. Father, you've spoken. May we respond. And if you've not spoken to our hearts today, help us to find out why. And Lord, to look forward anxiously to the next time you speak to our hearts in a definite way. God, don't grow silent to us. Help us to see spiritually. Keep the light of your favor shining on our life. Keep the arrow pointing up. Help us. In Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies are playing a song of invitation. Did God speak to your heart this morning? Would you come? Take a moment. Kneel here at the altar. If you don't know that you're saved, you're not sure where you're going to spend eternity, would you come? We have a man that can show men. We have a lady that can show ladies how to be saved. What does it mean to be a child of God? What does it mean to be born into God's family? What does it mean? If you need to be baptized, now is the time to come and obey the Lord. Or join the church as God has told you to do. You obey the Lord. The arrow, which direction? Up or down? Which direction this morning? God help us.